Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning Shir HaShirim, Perek Beis, the second chapter of the book of Shir HaShirim. This Perek has 17 psukim in it, and as we've done previously, we're going to break it up into micro-songs, understand each one of them on their own terms, in terms of pshat, basic understanding, in terms of historical perspective, and in terms of drash, deeper under meaning. Let's take a look at the first three psukim. The first three psukim are really a continuation of the previous perek, a song between the dod, that is the male beloved, and the raya, that's the female beloved. And she describes how this is now the raya speaking. She is speaking. She calls herself the Chavatzeles Hasharon. She's the rose in the Sharon. And he responds in like by saying that she is the beloved rose, Kashashana ben Echochim, the rose between those thorns. She describes him as the apple in the forest, and how she rests in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to her taste. Beautiful interchange of beauty, of descriptions of each other. Rashi understands this is a description of the dual chosenness of Israel and Hashem to Israel, meaning Hashem saying that this is Goy Echad Ba'aretz, this is the one nation I will focus upon, and the nation of Israel saying Na'aseh V'Nishma, that ultimately everything you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we will do. In terms of the drash, to dig it a little deeper, why the rose, why is the rose so important? So Rashi explains that this Shoshanas HaAmokim, it is a beautiful rose which grows among the mountains, and even though it's a very arid landscape, nonetheless, it has its own suppleness, it has its own wetness, it still remains always fresh. The Chida, in his commentary, deepens this in Chomas Anach and Tanach, and he says that, you know, what it really being described is that we maintain our color, our hue and strength, even amongst severe circumstances. The nation of Israel, even amongst their adversity, remains beautiful and remains their true colors, like this rose in the arid landscape. And in fact, the Midrashim give numerous examples of when this could have been. This is what the Midrash does very often, is to attribute this to specific historic events. Whether this is Rivka growing up in the house of Besuel, and she was this rose among the thorns that emerged out of a very compromised base household. Whether it was Israel and Egypt, that through the thorns of that culture, that backwards moral culture, emerged the nation of Israel. Or whether it was Israel in the extended exile, and how they will emerge. This is what's being described in this dual, in this bilateral commitment to one another. Then we move into the next section. This section runs from Sukkim Dalad to Vav, or to Zion. And in this section, it's a description of lovesickness. On the most basic level, the Pshat, these are the words of the Raya, in a lovesick description of how she wants to be close to her beloved. She wants his embrace. Once again, she tells the Benos Yerushalayim in an oath that they will not hold her back, it seems. The Benos Yerushalayim could be her captors, it could be her contemporaries, as we saw in the previous perek as well. In fact, Rashi explains that she is making an oath to the nations that she will not in any way, they will not in any way contest the chosenness of Israel. In the previous section, we saw Hashem said, "You are my nation." Hashem chooses the nation of Israel. Here, she turns outwards and says, "No one, Hishbati Aschem Benos Yerushalayim, the rest of the world, don't ever question that. That I'm ultimately that special nation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu." The drash in this section is actually very critical and very important in understanding the social dynamics of the last century and a half, because the Gemara in Ksubos, in one of the drashas on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, describes how Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina said there were three shavuos, three oaths that the nation of Israel took throughout history. One was Shelo Yalu Yisrael B'choma, that Israel will not ascend en masse back to Israel. And that the nations of Israel will never rebel against their host nations in exile. And number three, the nations should not overly oppress us. It's important to understand this, They're learning this with the pasuk of Hishpat Yeschem Benos Yerushalayim. Why is this so critical? Because this became the basis of much of the objection to modern Zionism. Vayoel Moshe, the Sefer written by the Satmar Rebbe against Zionism, is entitled the first of the three sections of the Sefer, is called the Shalosh Shavuos, based on this Gemara, based on this Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us swear, or we took upon ourselves, never to ascend en masse, never to break the status quo until HaKadosh Baruch Hu would will it. There are many, many, many retorts and objections to this claim. This Gemara is agarata, meaning to say it's not halachic, it's descriptive rather than prescriptive. Another option is that, in fact, these are interdependent conditions, and if the nations over-persecute us, which they have certainly done time and time again, then it is not bilateral, it no longer holds up, and therefore we are able to ascend to the nation of Israel, whether a few people who are going to settle the swamp in the swamps is considered en masse. There are a lot of just different questions halachically and hashkafically here, but nonetheless, this is where it starts. We finally go to the last section of the perek, and this is the Dod calling her raya, his raya, and her answer. Now we hear the voice of the Dod. This is Hashem, it seems, and it's the most basic way of looking at this. And that is, there's really four steps here. Pesukim Chestetes is where the Raya describes how she hears the voice of her beloved over the hills. He's really just behind the windows. Hineze omed achar kaslenu ashkech v'nachanos machalanos metzitz v'nachar hakim. He's peeking in. He's looking. What does he say? Pesukim Yud to Yud Gimel. He says he's calling her to join him. Everything is in bloom. The time is right. Kol ator nishma ba'arzenu, come. And he continues a second song, because apparently she hasn't listened. He continues to say, Yonasi b'chag ve'asel en posuk yudalad. My beloved dove is, my turtle dove, is in the crack, the cleft of the rock. B'seisera madrigo harinias marayich. He says, please show me your appearance. Hashmi'inias koleich. Let me hear your voice. Ki koleich orevu marayich noveich. Your voice is so sweet. Your appearance is so beautiful. And she responds in Pesukim Tezvov to Yud Zayin in a very strange way. She says, "Echezulanu shualim sholim ketanim chablim kramim uchramenu smadar." She says, "Look, the young foxes are out. They're trying to attack the vineyards, and our vineyard is just planting." And then she says, "Dodi livani loy, but we are for each other." Haro eva shoshanim. It's very, very strange. And then she talks about how her beloved is like this hind. The Tzio over Ayelim Ha'al Horebaser is prancing among the mountaintops. What's going on over here? Historically speaking, it could be referring to the nation of Israel, the Hebrews in Egypt, and Hashem beckoned to them and tried to bring them out. And even though some rejected the proposition, it could be the goddess of the nations later on. What does it mean, the foxes? That's what the confusing thing is. What does it mean when he has beckoned to her twice? He's hiding behind the windows. He's calling in this love song for her to come out. And then he says, my turtle dove, come out. Show me your appearance and your voice. And she responds about these foxes. What are these foxes? So Metzudas David explains that the love at this point in time is but fresh. The love is still new between Israel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Shu'alim are these young foxes, the cunning ones, who have not fully bought in. They're the ones who are going to complain in the desert. They're the ones who are going to object to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because even though the nation is infatuated by the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are some people who are critics. There's always a critic. You know, you go through an incredible experience, a spiritually elevating experience, and you come out and you ask somebody how it was, and they say, the air conditioning wasn't set right. You know, that's really a down, and they missed the whole point. And that's what's happening. Those are the Shualim Katanim, these small foxes, who just aren't getting it. The Malbim, in his way of looking at this, remember that the Malbim understood that this is a conversation between three entities. There's the guards of the king who want to take away the Raya, and the Raya who's pining after her Dod, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the soul oscillating between material incarceration and spiritual liberation. So the Malbim says that the way it's actually these Shualim Katanim are the alibi that the Raya uses to send off the guards of the king. So the guards of the king are keeping a strict watch over the Raya, and she says, you know what, why don't you check into the actual vineyards? It looks like in those vineyards over there, that the foxes are attacking, and off they go, and she's left for these very powerful moments with her dod, unity with her dod. And the Rimalim goes on to explain that this is the koach ha-dimyon, the ability to be able to conceptualize ideas, the ability to be able to move away from the material which incarcerates us in a cunning way. Just a very different way of looking at what the Shualim are. It's worthwhile noting that there's a book which is written called Kol HaTor, based on the Psukim we just looked at over here. And it's a very important book to know about because it was written by one of the Talmidei HaGra. And this Sefer is in fact based on a revelation. He describes the Vilna Gaon came to him to explain when Mashiach would come and how it would. And it's found based on the numerical value of Kol HaTor, when it is actually the Kol HaTor would be. What is very, very powerful idea. It's actually a very fascinating prediction the Vilna Gaon makes. And there's a lot of questions on the Sefer, how much is it attributed to being the Vilna Gaon's, but it is nonetheless a very powerful statement about the coming of Mashiach ben Yosef, which is being described over here, and that's based on our Pasuk. It's also worthwhile noting, with a Pasuk in depth, if we try and look at a little bit of the Drash, the Yorasi b'chagvei ha-sela, the dove in the cleft of the rock, that the Midrash Mechilta says it refers to Matan Torah. This is when Hashem gave the Torah. Why so? Says the Metzudah, is because the Yonah, the dove, has a unique aspect to it in that it commits to a partner for lifetime. Once a dove finds a partner, it will always return to the same partner. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, turns to Israel at Matan Torah and says, Yonah Sima Chagvei HaSela, which has overtures of the sitting underneath the mountain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protecting her and saying, show me your marayich v'koleich, which refers to Na'as HaVinishman, the commitment on us to show our true self to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's perhaps what's going on over here. So you can see multiple layers over here. There's the layer of what seems to be the love songs. There's the layer of the historical aspects of Israel. There's the layers of the Kabbalistic notion of the struggle of the soul. There's the layers of the Kabbalistic recoming of Mashiach, b'mehirah v'yameinu, all embedded in these psukim. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.